The attempt at co-optation by politicians, celebrities, and nonprofit organizations is a counterinsurgency strategy to de-escalate the encampments, defang the movement, and demobilize the momentum we have been building for so long. Enough with de-escalation trainings. Where are the escalation trainings? The movement trips over itself to provide endless trainings, webinars, and infographics on de-escalation tactics to avoid bad press and antagonisms with police, Zionist agitators, and university administrators. This is not inherently a bad thing, and we are quite aware of the need to avoid pointless confrontation in order to build our camps and consolidate our forces. We ourselves have provided Know Your Rights trainings, for example, and employed this approach in specific protests and conditions. But like everything, we have a choice in what we prioritize and a responsibility to adapt to meet the moment. We need Know Your Rights trainings, but we also need Know Your Enemy trainings. We can choose to prioritize de-escalation trainings, or we can choose to prioritize escalation trainings. We can choose to learn how to build effective barricades, how to link arms most effectively to resist police attacks, or what type of expanding foam works best on the kinds of doorknobs present in our universities. This is not rhetoric. This is an urgent need. We will all share the inspiring images coming from Cal Poly Tech, but if we will commit to studying and adapting those lessons to fit our conditions. These questions are a priority if we are serious about turning this movement from one that tries to advance our rhetorical position on solidarity and morality to convince power brokers of the righteousness of our cause, to a movement that becomes a power broker ourselves. We are inspired by the Cal Poly Tech students, a student body where a fourth of the students do not have enough food to eat and have experienced homelessness, who were first in this current period to take a building and fight off the police. We are inspired by the Columbia students who have shown a model on how to reestablish a camp after a police sweep and how to last for days at a time. We are inspired by the Emerson and Emory students who teach us to link arms in rows and build barricades to resist police assaults. We are inspired by the USC students who teach us that a single police car, surrounded by hundreds, can effectuate a de-arrest. These students are creative and adapt to their conditions and represent a shift in the solidarity movement from one of symbolic power to one that understands tangible power. We call on New Yorkers to learn these lessons and prepare for the next chapter. No to student power, yes to people power. As we wrote nearly 8 years ago, quote, the student movement can provide revolutionary leadership to a larger movement if it is integrated among broader progressive struggles to build power for oppressed people. But if instead the student movement is limited either solely to the specific struggles of students, tuition, student resources, etc., or is isolating students from their communities instead of uniting them, the student movement becomes non-revolutionary or even counter-revolutionary, unquote. This has not been more relevant than today, where new student encampments are established every single day. There are several important lessons to draw from the rejection of the student power line, lessons that have been synthesized decades ago by revolutionaries in the United States and elsewhere, particularly the student movement integrated in the ongoing revolution in the Philippines. Firstly, we note that it is crucial to keep our focus and demands on Gaza and the ongoing genocide of Palestinian people. The protest itself cannot be the dominating headline. Yet, because our analysis of the Palestinian struggle is an internationalist one, part of these demands requires us to make our encampments and organizing relevant to the majority of New Yorkers who are not Palestinian, Arab, or Muslim.